Welcome to Let's Talk Ed and Zahi. We are going to be talking about non-traditional students, and we have a guest, friend of the program. Eric has joined us again. It's been a little bit since he's been on with us, but he really fits this bill with non-traditional students. And I'm not sure which one of you two wants to launch first, but in our first segment here, we are talking about scheduling as a way to help or sometimes hurt non-traditional students.
Yeah, let me jump in and say, you know, Eric and I met when he started as a student for the second stint in his life after his military career, after his business, personal business career, right? And the interesting part about it is I learned from Eric what several prior years of experience in administration did not teach me, is how to get the traditional student to a point of completion, because he came fully equipped with higher education. So, Eric, we're looking to learn from you tonight. Talk to us about how scheduling fit in your life, how you're seeing it as now a college professor, how it's fitting in the life of your non-traditional students.
Well, the first thing is, I finished because Zahi gave me a deadline, and if I finished by that date, he'd give me a job, and if I didn't, he wouldn't. So if every student had a guaranteed job if they got done by a date, maybe that would fix those problems. I got the job on the reference of his dog, who was my best friend at the time, since we're, you know, talking about what type of support non-traditional students need. In this case, it was his service dog or his son's service dog. Scheduling was hard because at the time, I was working, I think, graveyard shift at Home Depot when I started. I was working nights. And scheduling is really, really difficult. And I've seen a change in how we used to do it to how we do it now. Offering classes that people who work a normal day job can take is, I think, paramount to getting those students. You need to have a class that can fit in that kind of 5 or 6 to 9 or 10 timeframe, which we have done in the past and are not doing now. And we've seen a big drop off in those students because now our classes are 3 to 9 instead, once a week instead of twice a week. We're not doing weekend classes, Fridays and Saturday classes. So I think scheduling plays a big part in, you know, if you're an older student and you have responsibilities, you need to be able to get a class that works within those responsibilities. You can't do the normal 9 to 5 college because you've got a job, you've got kids, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, and it seems like so much of what we do is we're thinking about that very traditional age student that, you know, we're used to running them, you know, and they're done with class by noon. And that isn't something that, like you said, fits in the schedule of a working adult who, you know, may have family, may have kids, may have a full-time job somewhere, and asking them to come in and take a composition class at 10 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday may not work for them at all.
Yeah, we used to work really hard about rotating our classes so that each go around, different classes would be offered in the evening, so that students who were limited to those times would be able to work their way through the whole program if they want. I say now we're doing six to seven hour classes once a week, and it kind of defeats that entire purpose, I think.
So let's peel that onion, you know, because I don't think pedagogically anyone can argue that those long sittings are helpful, right? You can do it for a workshop day, right? You can do it for a bridge. But no, I don't think I could be easily convinced that this is pedagogically the right way to go, to cram into 6 or 7 hours when the individual is expected to go work. You know, you've put in 8, 10 hour days, and then now you're going to come in on top of it for 6 or 7 hours in a classroom with a break of 10 minutes every following the second hour. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But so let's talk about how that harms the learning. Let's talk about how it deters the student. But that's also use that as a springboard toward discussing, you know, different modalities. I know it's hard to weld online, right? Near impossible. Let's put it this way. So it has to be in person, right? How can we, for example, flip the classroom can be a potentially doable thing whereby the lab is in person, but the instruction happens remotely, which would require setting up, which requires a lot of work on the faculty's end as well.
Well, let me play devil's advocate first. I'll tell you how it could be beneficial, those six-hour classes. You show up, you get your hour and a half of lecture, you get a quick break, and then your lab is your lab. You're not working for a few hours and then having to clean up and wasting that time multiple times during the week. That entire block of time is there to weld and to get into it. And for a certain student, that does work very well. I traditionally don't worry about trying to create labs that run that full length because I worry that that last hour or so, students are tired and they're just not learning much. Or if it's something that takes the faster students the entire time, then the slower students are never going to get done. So that would be how it would work positively in that it gives them that time to
run.
Are
you sure about that? Because I weld over 16, 18, 15 weeks every Monday. There are 6 days in between where I haven't welded. Yeah. Is it necessarily that helpful?
There's a case to be made either way. I'm not arguing that. I just figured I'd give a little devil's advocate. Do I think that's the best way? No. And that's not the way I'd want to do it. I prefer the 3 hours twice a week, 3.5 hours twice a week. I think I get more out of them the entire time. Mm. Is it as efficient? No, because we lose time to clean up twice. But I think I get more out of them when they're in the chair. They pay attention more, generally speaking. Now, that's not every student. Some students really like that 6 hours. They go into the booth, they put their head down, they come out for fresh water, air and some water, and they dive right back in. But that's the minority. I would say 10%, maybe 15% of the students do really well with that. The other 85 or 90, they do much better with a shorter class. I would like to do an option of classes where we offer it as a hybrid, where the lecture is online and you show up and you do the lab in person. However, a lot of the students that take welding, they don't learn well online at all. They really do, especially the non-traditional students, the older students will say, to pick on them. They generally prefer to sit in a class and talk to a teacher. They really struggle with the computer side of things. So I think you have to offer both. I think both needs to be an option. However, we've talked about this, and I know, Zahi, you've done this at various jobs. You don't have to have a rigorous lab for each class. You can do an open lab mm-hmm. to open up your scheduling, mm-hmm. where you could do an open lab all day Friday that doesn't require a teacher come and do a lecture. They just need to show up and be there to support the classes. That requires a teacher that can support every class you teach. Right. It's harder to get away with an adjunct that knows one topic really well, but can't deal with the rest. You need adjuncts if you're going to rely on adjuncts, as many schools do, that can do more of it. But so I think those are the two options. Offer lecture for sometimes online, but make sure you offer both. And then you could do a mix of either a lab that follows directly after and is very much a formal lab. We sit down, we do our lecture, we walk into lab, or you do an open lab where people come in on their own schedule, they clock in and out, however you want to keep track of hours or whether it's just, did they get the project done type of thing. I think both of those work to kind of spread that load out and add flexibility into your system.
Chris, do you think you or I can take those 7 hour classes, 6 to 7 hours?
No, you know, it's one of those, I see the concept where you could have an administrator say it's going to be so much easier for a non-traditional student to take a class one day a week and take a 6 or 7 hour yeah. class. They don't have to worry about anything else. But the reality is you're either going to go really, really late into the night. So, you know, let's start our class at 6 o'clock at night and run it till midnight, which we're not going to do. Or now we're starting a class at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, if I'm working a 9-to-5 job, I don't have that option. If I have kids, I have to figure out who's going to pick them up from school now and things like that. So as a concept, I don't necessarily like that really long, blocky class like that because I don't think it's going to easily fit into the schedule of a lot of working adults, although we may think it might.
So how do we flip it to using the schedule to support non-traditional? Because not all non-traditionals are non-traditional because they work. some are non-traditional because of a disability. Others are non-traditional because they have, you know, dependents. So how can we use the schedule as a support mechanism and structure for those students?
I think you just have to offer, you just have to be flexible. You have to offer a variety of programs, a variety of schedules. You can't get locked in one and do it all the time. You know, we've said we don't like the long class, but I think there is a spot for that. And especially if you're going to offer to say a Saturday class where people can come in one day on a weekend and do it, that might work as a full day, one day a week on the weekend that they could do that. We have also worked with employers where employers have brought their people in for training and they only want to lose them one day a week. So we would get them, let's say Monday at a 3 o'clock and we'd have them Monday evening and they'd tell 8 or 9 o'clock. And then work would pay for it and they would give them that couple hours work and then they would have to obviously find a couple hours in the evening on their own. So there are some things, but I just think flexibility.
And
a variety of options.
Kind of building off that idea, Eric, you know, I heard this about a different program at a different college where they were working with an employer and everybody knew their schedules and they were going to have one of 2 days a week off during the week. So, you know, let's just say you're either going to have Tuesday off and that's going to be every Tuesday for a year or Wednesday off every Wednesday for a year. And they ran classes for those students, basically exclusively for them. And it was set up in a way that if for some reason you didn't make the Tuesday class, you could drop in the Wednesday class is going to be exactly where you're at within obviously some limited reason. But, you know, so there's a concept as well that we can do. So we've been talking about scheduling and non-traditional students. If you enjoy topics like this, be sure and subscribe to us on YouTube. Ring the bell down below. Like this video, comment. It helps with the algorithms, getting this into the eyes and ears of other like-minded individuals. And of course, you can find Let's Talk Ed on all of your favorite podcasting platforms as well. So for Eric and Zahi, I'm Chris. We'll see you next time right here on Let's Talk Ed.